good evening. This is the NLA Hams Net. I'm currently driving, so excuse the road noise. This is Terry, K-I-0-R-E, Terry in Colorado. And this is the NLA Hams Net. We meet here about 8 o'clock Eastern Time every Wednesday night. And we talk about ham things combined with NLA things. And tonight, John says he has a little more information. I'd like to hear that information. So, John, please, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Excuse me. Helena and I have exchanged a few emails. We did want to clarify one matter. She and I had both used the acronym WISP, Whiskey Indigo Sierra Papa. Although we were using it with two different meanings, the way I was using it, it was wireless internet service provider, and the idea would be, say, for example, wireless, you know, internet services to in a rural community, where the customer is connecting via wirelessly to a point maybe a few miles away, acting as an internet service provider. And I've been looking at some of the hardware that's used for that. And I was just about to bring up some specs on my computer, but I was just looking at them yesterday. And the output power, and I believe it's mandated by law, at least for one of the frequencies that's typically used for Wi-Fi, still under a watt. I was looking at one device that had a very narrow beam width, for one thing. That's a feature of these devices. But the output power was, I think, right around 300 milliwatts. So still well under 1 watt. On the order of a few hundred milliwatts, but the antennas are very very sensitive. They've got great errors. They can pick up signals on the order of a few hundred femtowatts. So we're talking, you know, 10 to the minus 15 watts, a few hundred of those. You know, so a fraction of a picowatt. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well. And these devices are fairly affordable. I've seen prices in the range of $50. Some of them are, I think, up closer to $100. And they're basically, as I understand, commercial counterparts to the residential Linksys routers that a lot of us are probably more familiar with. AB3ZI, over.
AB3ZI, John, thank you very much. I have never heard anything that's down the femtowatts. I can't imagine anything working down there, and it seems like you would get overpowered by anything on a similar harmonic at any time. It's even a cell phone would come and disrupt that, would it not?
And actually, if I could, I turned over a bit too early. I've begun to read a document that I downloaded just a couple weeks ago, and it addresses the very questions that some of my friends and I are trying to answer, and some of these ham groups that are working on wireless mesh networking are trying to answer. The publication is it's titled Wireless Networking in the Developing World, Third Edition. So a group of some very, very accomplished individuals. I was looking at their credentials as I was reading this document. They put this together, and they want to see internet access spread in the third world in particular. So they're presenting approaches to that to do it wirelessly at very low cost. And that's the name of the document, and their website is www.wngw.net. So that's Whiskey November Delta Whiskey.net. And
okay.
Very useful information for us there, too. Over.
Okay, can you pass that on to John in an email so we don't have to spend a lot of time correcting the text copy here? I appreciate that, John. Thank you very much. Excellent. And thank you for doing that research. I want to see this thing. I want to read about this. So, okay, anybody else would like to talk, please call now.
Well, this is KC3HVA. I just wanted to let you know that I appreciated your comments about dead air time. On a radio station, it's a killer. But for hams, it's a blessing. You know, I really enjoyed your comments. Very insightful. So don't worry about a little dead air space between transmissions. Over.
Well, thank you for that, Jan. I appreciate it, and I agree. Because you're not always going to know when somebody's about to pick up the mic. Lots of times, some people, I don't like it, but some people like to give their calls on KI0RE and then unkey just to make sure that they're not transmitting over somebody else. Because when you have two people transmit, the nature of frequency modulated or FM radio transmission is that it will normally lock on one or the other. At times, they interfere with each other, and it makes a third frequency that's what comes over, because that becomes the dominant one and gets transmitted over the repeater or whatever. So it depends on what the situation is. But you can either have two people that you can hear one, but you can't hear the other, and so they were covered, so whatever the second person needed to say, they'll need to say again when it's their turn to talk. Or you get it where neither one, you can't hear either one. It's just there's a side tone, or there's such a scramble that you can't understand either one of them. So it depends on what it is, where the antennas are, and what the repeater is listening to. And when somebody covers like that, what you have to do is let one person talk or acknowledge one person's transmission, and then acknowledge that there was a cover. And the cover could come. And the cover says, well, it sounds like you heard the other guy. I didn't hear the other guy because I was transmitting at the time. So he must have missed me. So that means me. So he goes ahead and gives his call sign and unkeys, listens, and says, and then you hear from that control, okay, that call sign, go ahead. And then you have the floor. So it's, excuse me, I have a red light stuck. You try and keep it organized, and you try and listen for the people who are way out in the boonies, and anybody else talks, they get overwritten. And it does take an ear, so I definitely encourage anybody with a radio to listen to a few nets. Listen to one or two before you start transmitting, especially if you haven't got your license yet. You don't want to be transmitting. But you get an ear for how things go during a net, and that's kind of what we're doing here. We try and simulate as much as we can. I would be net control, and I kind of control who's talking at a particular time. But since it's a conference call, anybody can really talk over me. But you've heard it. I've heard it on these conference calls. Two people start talking at the same time. You can't understand what either one of them. Well, it goes double for radio. Radio doesn't always have the quality of a conference call, and when two people get to talking, you don't know what you're going to get, and it makes a big mess unless you lock on with your ears and listen to that particular person. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed it, but up in a tower, like an airport tower, they have two, three, or more radios turned up all the time, and you might have two airplanes calling in at the same time. And that's one of the stresses in the air traffic control position, is listening to two airplanes calling at the same time, and yet listening to just one of them and picking up what it is. And the really good ones who've been doing it a while, they can tell you what both of them were saying. So it really takes an ear, and you've got to train that ear, and it takes practice. So I'm glad everybody here kind of listens to that. Now, does anyone have any questions or any comments they'd like to make? Please call now with your call sign if you got it, and if you don't, just your name, time and stay. So I'll open the floor up for anybody who wants to speak. Go ahead. You got it. Oh, the silence was deafening. I want to address one more thing. People think that because they don't know enough yet, that they're afraid to key up. There's only one thing you really gotta do, I guess there's two or three, but anyway, is you got to be willing to push the button, and you want to think about what you're gonna say. Say it as succinctly as possible, and then let go of the button. You'd be surprised how many people don't let go of the button. And so they're sitting there talking to themselves and wondering why nobody's talking to them. Well, they haven't released the button yet, and they're still transmitting, and they don't think about it. So that's one thing. The other thing is they think that, they'll be seen as not having an intelligent question or not being able to contribute or not being able to be heard, or people realize how brand new they are. You got to get over that. You just got to get over that. And so I want to encourage people to contribute here. If nobody wants to talk, we can go back through a roll call. I'll let Jim do that one, and he'll copy down names and call signs. So, Jim, I'm going to turn it over to you for a second. Why don't you go ahead and make some calls? And have people call in and write them down so we can keep them.
Okay. I already have an indelible record on the computer here, but we can do this like a call-in. Would you please call in now and identify yourself by your call sign? Or if you have none, just by your name and state, please.
This is KM4WUJ, Bruce in Sarasota, Florida. Just going to stop the silence. Back to
you. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce. That's how we talk over each other, by the way. So, works fine. Okay, anybody else would like to check in now at this time? I see there's a number of other people here. Just either your call sign or your name and state.
Helena in Pennsylvania.
Great. Thanks so much, Helena. Okay, anybody else that would like to make themselves known to the world? Name and state or your call sign if you have one.
This is KI0RE, Terry in Colorado.
Thank you very much. Terry? Okay. We do have some shy people. I guess rather than demand full compliance, we should move on to something else. Do you have something else prepared for tonight, Terry?
No, but I'm glad that those people are there. That they're listening, and I think it's good that people want to come on. And maybe they haven't developed a question yet because they feel like they don't know enough.
Right.
Well, and one key is to get with a ham or get a book and start studying. And I want to encourage everyone to do that. If we could have this net as a collection of 20 or 30 hams, we would be moving it to the radio and to the airwaves pretty quickly after that. And that's the goal, is get people used to talking. Because until you communicate with radio, it's kind of hard to understand what's going on and how to have a conversation. But you got to think ahead. And that's difficult at times. I've even had a problem, even though it sounds like I know what I'm doing here. I don't all the time. And so it's very positive to practice here and then practice listening when you got a radio. And then once you feel comfortable, going ahead and making your contribution, identifying yourself every 10 minutes that you're talking and at the end. And I'll tell you, most repeaters won't let you talk 10 minutes. they'll only let you talk about 3 minutes before they cut you off, because that's a lengthy, long time transmission for 10 minutes. But as you go back and forth, maybe it's been 10 minutes since you said who you were, that's a good time to go ahead and include your call sign. So I've talked about that before. I really have been thinking about how I can help a community of safety handle communications. And generally, what kind of situations, and that's what I kind of want to get everybody's input on, is what kind of situations are we looking at on a committee of safety, and why would people need to communicate? What would they be? And I'm thinking that a local disaster or a local event that needs somebody looking at it. And who would they be committing? Well, I would want to communicate with my committee of safety, and I'd want everybody in the committee to hear what was going on. So if it's time to gather, they get a call on the radio, and they go and they start gathering wherever they're supposed to gathering. Or they decide right on the radio, you need to take care of this and you need to take care of this. So assignments are good. Or somebody says, I've got a flood down here on the corner of First Street and Vine, and it doesn't look good. Oh, okay. Have you called the fire department? Oh, no, not yet. They're busy on other places, and we kind of need to get some people down here. It's those kinds of things. And I would enjoy hearing anybody's ideas about what we should be talking about, how we should be using the radios on a committee of safety. Do I know it all? No, I don't. And so that's why I would like some input from other people. So if anybody wants to add to that, I would appreciate it. And I'll listen right now. You have the floor.
Well, this is KC3HVA. I'm not sure exactly how you would use the COS and the ham gear, but think about the people below the earthen dam in California that's washing out. 200,000 people moved out of their homes, dumped in shelters here and there, hopefully all in the same shelter for each family. What a chaotic situation. And if they just had their little handy talkies, their little Bofangs or whatever, if they got separated, they could get back together. Who knows if the cell towers and stuff were up in that area, all that sort of thing. It is a rather mountainous area. Seems like a ham setup for at least a couple, three members of the family would be very useful in that situation. Over.
Good point. I like that idea. You know, here we have a situation right here. The sheriff deemed that it was safe to go back home, but be ready for an evacuation. So it's evacuation warning. It's not an evacuation order. How much better would it be if they sent it over ham radio at the same time they started calling everybody, assuming that all the telephones were working or all the smartphones were working? They sent out a ham radio, and you could actually have somebody on a block or a series of blocks that could go door to door and say, get out. You could actually act as an extension to the authorities. There's many places, and that's what Aries and BCAR is. Aries and what's the other one? There's two races. Aries and races, that's what they're all about. You practice working with the sheriff's office or the local law enforcement office. And so you act like an extension when they don't have the manpower or the capability. Up here in Boulder County, Colorado, where I live, we actually have a ham club that has ham TV. So we get three or four guys covering an event like a football game or a a forest fire, which they've done both of those, or bad weather coming through. And the person can look, since they're all on different frequency, the sheriff can look at video right now, real time, of what's going on, and then tell them, hey, I want you to go down to that corner first in Vine and see, show me how it looks down there. Well, that's a lot faster than getting a deputy and moving that deputy down there, because maybe the deputy is busy and you want him to stay where he's at. So you're acting as a force multiplier by doing that. Okay, what else? What other places might we be using ham radio communications on a committee of safety type? With committees of safety, what kind of event? And I give the floor open again.
Well, this is KC3HVA again. One of the things that comes to mind that could be a serious problem is the economic downturn. If we get a breakdown in our financial system, whereby we will probably not even be assured that we have electrical power, so maybe after a short period of time our cell phones will be gone. Hopefully people like hams who are prepared for emergency services will have their little solar cell and battery and a car battery can run your little Bofang sort of things for a long, long time so that they could begin to help communications in the local areas. And for both of these types of situations, it would be good to have a pre-planned group for notifying, or like a telephone tree, but a ham call tree where you call X number of hams who then fan out and walk door-to-door and bicycle or whatever, drive if possible door-to-door to alert people to whatever the problem is that's at hand, whether it's tornado warning after power's down or like the flood in California, imminent flood, I guess I should say, not the actual one, that sort of thing. Over.
Oh, those are all excellent, Jan. That brings up the thing, if you think about it, we're all working on getting a committee of safety going, maybe not as actively as other places, maybe less active in some places, maybe more active in others. At some point, we'd like to give the members of the committee of safety a way to communicate and organize themselves that was independent of electricity, cell towers, and anything else that's going. And I agree. Getting a solar panel or some alternate form of power to a radio and then being able to talk on that radio and communicate over long distances might be the key. Also, you could have, maybe you need to be able to talk to somebody down in the state capitol for some reason. And the only way to communicate is ham radio. There's been many times, especially during the wars, that the only way to communicate overseas and do a health and welfare type of communication was through ham radio. And ham radio operators have been doing that for years and years. So right now is the time to work on getting your license so that you can do it and practice what you're thinking about doing. When the time comes and you do have a committee of safety, you'll be prepared. If you start doing it once the committee of safety is organized, you're behind the power curve, and you'll have a difficult time. So I'm encouraging everybody, especially the ones on this call, to go ahead and work on their committees of safety if they already have their ham license, or work on their ham license. And I am open to talk to anybody at any time. All you got to do is call me. And my number is on the weekly flyer that Jan sends out every week to talk about this call here even. So, Jan, I appreciate that input. Anybody else want to talk?
This is AB3ZI. Is the floor open?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was unmuted too. So in order to continue participating with my county ARES group, and that's Amateur Radio Emergency Service, of course, I need to take four courses on the Incident Command System, and this is through the National Incident Management System, NIMS, and so I'm making my way through them. But it's a very interesting, framework for incident management. But it's very command and control oriented, so there's a strict chain of command. And I do have some concern that it's a terrific approach for managing, say, a false flag event in response to that, because the control is so top down. But nevertheless, it is an interesting approach to managing any kind of incident that requires a kind of emergency response. DB3ZI, over.
You know, that's a very good point. They started instituting that about the year after I stopped being active in my ARES group. And so I'm not active right now, and I haven't ever done that course. So you're ahead of me, John, and I really appreciate you bringing that up. Right there is an opportunity for, if you don't know how to organize a system or how to respond to events, you read that and you come a long way, even from what I know. And you'll be the one who understands what's going on and can communicate succinctly to everyone else how the response should go for a particular event or a particular thing that's happening. So that's an excellent comment, John. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Bruce, you got anything to say? Okay, I want you to know that I can't reach over, push the button and open up your head and pour all this stuff in. I am here to guide. I'm a mentor. I can help you learn. I can point a direction and say, go learn this, and that will lead to other things. I can help you in that way. But I'm not going to be able to do it all for you. And we need people here who have been thinking about it and doing it. And I would encourage everyone to please find the ham and then talk to that ham, learn a little bit, try and get your license. And even if you don't get your license, I think you can probably take some of these courses and learn what they're about even before you get your license. The more you learn, the more use you'll be when you do get that radio. It's not as hard as sometimes we make it sound. You just got to put in the effort to learn it. So if you're interested in it, please learn it. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of hams out there that are in clubs. That's what they want to do, is help you learn it. And I would encourage you to get with them. And I'm open. I will take your call. I've been on of a couple of hours or plus worth of calls from a ham who found out that the club meets down in less than a mile from his house. He had no idea. So let's get to going. And I want to encourage you to get it done. I'm sorry. Was that somebody trying to interrupt? Go ahead.
I think that was just feedback. Wireless caller ending in 4604. Your speaker is set up high enough that we pick up when other people are talking through you. If you're not going to talk, please mute yourself.
Okay. How can I best help you? This is a forum
that John has graciously given us. And Jan has been here every week, even reminding me that the call is coming, so that we can tell everybody about ham radio and how it works and what to do. I've given a few things, but I know that from teaching ham radio over the years, that it works better when I'm in a class and I can write stuff on the board. If you go back and you've listened to all of these little conference calls, I've covered the main body of what goes on when you're talking ham radio. You can get a small education. I've also found that, let's see, KE0OG is one of them. He has a whole series that follows the manual, or not the manual, the ARRL technician manual, I think is what he follows. Maybe I'm wrong. But KE0OG, Kilo Echo Zero Oscar Golf. That's Dave. I used to know him. He lives over on the western slope of Colorado. And he'll take you through all these things on the net, on YouTube. All you got to do is go over there and listen. So if you want to learn things faster, it's better to do that, because you can learn them at any rate you want. You don't have to wait on 45 minutes during a conference call connected to the NLA. So I want to encourage you, if that's the way you want to learn it, go. Let's go and let's do it. And I want to get enough people, Bruce and John, I think you guys are in a position that you can, you know, together we can start organizing and writing some things down and saying, here's one way to do this, and develop a plan so that it could go to any committee of safety. What's stopping us from drawing up that plan? Because we're already ham radio operators. Jan, Wonder Ann, myself, John, Bruce, we could bring in some people who haven't been coming to this. Maybe we should be transitioning into developing that organization procedure. What do y'all think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea.
John, Bruce, that's something you'd like to participate in?
AB3ZI, yes, I'm interested. Over.
Bruce said he didn't want to say much, but Bruce, please jump in if you want to. I'd appreciate it. Okay, well, let's start thinking how we're going to do that, because that's something that we can do. I would like to know what you're studying, if that's something anybody has access to at ARES or just HAMS, John. So if you could kind of communicate that again, he can reflect it out to everybody. And I think that would be a good thing.
Yep, just send it to me. Email at jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. Be happy to get it to everybody.
Okay, thank you, Jan. I appreciate it. Okay, that's about all I got, unless somebody else has something. I think we're about ready to close this down unless somebody else would like to speak. If you have any questions, any comments, any suggestions, or any criticism, I'm here to listen right now. So please call now.
Terry, what was that YouTube website?
You'll have to, I don't know, but his name is David. Is it Dave? Dave, and his call sign is Kilo Echo, K-E, Zero OG. K-E-0-O-G, Oscar Goff. And I ran into him on YouTube the other night, and I said, he's got a whole set of lessons up here. He's everything you need to know, and he does a better job at it than I am. And he can do it with a video. So he's got a website. and he's got the YouTube videos. And I would encourage you to go. Did you catch all that, Helena?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. And I would encourage anybody to do that. So we have lots of resources. Now let's start using them. Anyone who wants to get their ham license, they're very welcome to. I hope they do. But let's get those of us together who do have our license, anybody else who wants to join, and let's start implementing some of these things that we've been learning about and actually put something together. So I'm going to say that we might have to transition and start doing that. How are we going to communicate? Why are we going to communicate? What communications do we need? What communications do we not need? Because sometimes that's just as important. So I'll leave it there. Anybody else want to make a comment or suggestion or criticism? Please
call this now. Is Bruce. I just went on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and just put KE0OG in, there's a bunch of videos there. Back to you.
Right. I'm glad it worked, Bruce. Thank you very much for looking that up. I didn't have my computer yet.
DB3ZI again. I may have missed it, but Dave's last name is Kassler. Charlie.
Yes.
House of Sierra, Lima Echo, Romeo. And I viewed all of his videos for each. I took all three tests last year, and he's got a series for each test. And I viewed them, and they were a significant portion of my preparation for the licensing test. DB3ZI over.
Oh, thank you, John. That's excellent. I'll have to pass that on to him. I'm sure he's had communications from a lot of people who have used those videos because they look pretty good to me. I was involved with him when we were teaching mute at NV0M, Rip and Ellie Winkle's house, Van Winkle. And he was teaching kids the advanced stuff, and I always taught the simple stuff, the tech license. And she was personally responsible for running that group, and it was called the Bark Juniors. And Dave was part of that, and his daughter was part of that. And that group, Bark Juniors, through Ellie and Rip, was personally responsible for getting over 200 kids, 200 children, to get their ham license. And a lot of those kids are now working down at NASA because they understood it wasn't a mystery. And it's just fantastic what you can do if you just get after it. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, John. Okay, I think we'll go ahead and close it now. And this is KI0RE, Terry in Colorado. This is the NLA HamsNet. We meet every week at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Monday night call number, which is available up on NationalLibertyAlliance.org. My tongue got tangled. And we welcome anybody that wants to join the conversation. And if anybody wants to call me at any time, more than welcome to. Please do. And absent of anybody with any objection, I think I'm going to say that the net is now closed. Thank you all very much for participating. Good call tonight. And let's see what we can do between now and next week about the how are we going to use this? How are we going to construct something that is some kind of guidance or communications for generalized communication scheme for a committee of safety? Okay, with that, I'll close the net. We'll see you later. Thank you very much, Jan, for running this net. I appreciate it a whole bunch. Couldn't do it without you. This is KI0RE, clear.